the words of God given to us today are Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 to verse 30.
하나님의 말씀을 봉독하겠습니다.
I will recite the words of God.
오직 너희는 그리스도의
Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Amen. Today is the last sermon on the family. I will speak a bit more about husband and wife. On February 24th of this year, a person named David Jones, who lives in Ohio, proposed to his girlfriend. Jones told his girlfriend, Diane Horton, to make sure to watch the 12 o'clock news on WJW-TV, which was the Cleveland regional channel. Jones told his girlfriend that during the ads for the news, he would come out as a superhero character. Horton watched the news with her friends at a beauty parlor. What she watched was an ad in which Jones takes out a ring and asking her to marry him, saying, Dee, let's show the world what true love is. Horton apparently was deeply moved and cried and accepted his proposal. But this type of things don't only happen abroad. On April 29th, an ad was featured on the fourth page of a newspaper, and in the ad was a picture of a smiling woman. Next to it were the following words. I will let you know forever how much I love you. Chihei, happy birthday, and marry me. July 2nd, a.m., 11. This was a proposal by Mr. Seo Jin-young to Ms. Moon Ji-hae. Mr. Seo, who has his own business, said, there's nothing I wouldn't do if my girlfriend would marry me. And that I agonized over how to propose to her when an idea occurred to me to advertise on a newspaper that I'd like to read on my smartphone. Actually, Mr. Saul had thought about doing a newspaper ad a year ago on her birthday, but when he called the ad department of the newspaper, he gave up because it was too expensive. But this time, he went to the newspaper ad department in person and proposed a price that he had in mind. The ad department was going to turn down his offer because there was too much of a gap between the price he offered and the actual cost of the ad. But they made an unusual decision to carry the ad, given that he was a loyal reader of the paper and because they thought that it would provide an opportunity for the newspaper to become closer to the public. Mr. Seo arranged to have 300 copies of the newspaper to be on board on the 10:30 p.m. flight to New York that his girlfriend, an airline stewardess, would be on. Just in case she would not find the ad, he asked her colleagues to open the paper where she would be without her knowing. And he also prepared cake and champagne and flowers for her to receive when his girlfriend checked into a New York hotel. Mr. Hall said to the reporter, I should do at least as much, given that she will consent to live with me for the rest of our lives. July 2nd is apparently said to be the 1,000th day that they've met, and I really wish that they would live happily together.
TV 광고나 신문 광고를 통해서
It's not ordinary to be proposed by an ad in television or a newspaper, but it is not the case that such special proposal guarantees a happy marriage. If Ms. Moon Jae-hae, who received the proposal by a newspaper ad, could think deeply about how to make a healthy family rather than this fantastic proposal, then she would really be a wise person, like her name. There is a fairy tale called Cinderella. The story is almost an original prototype of many fairy tales, and it is said that there are thousands of similar stories all over the world, so it means that there are at 100 or more of those stories for each country. In Korea also, there is a story of Kongji Pachi, which is the most typical of such stories. The plot of Cinderella goes like this. Long time ago in a small kingdom, a man who had lost his wife lived with his daughter Cinderella. The father loved the daughter with all his heart, but he could not give her her mother's love. So he remarried with a woman who had two daughters, Anastasia and Drusilla. When Cinderella's father died, however, the stepmother and the two stepsisters started to mistreat her, and the two sisters used up all of the money left behind by her father. The stepmother made Cinderella wash large carpets and curtains of the house, clean all the windows of the house, gardening, and clean the chimneys. The king of that country was old and wanted grandchildren, but the prince had no interest in women. The king and his count decided to designate the day that the prince was due to return from abroad as a day of a ball and invite all the young women from all over the place. They thought that the prince would at least find one woman that he liked. Cinderella also really wanted to go to the ball, but there were so much work for her to do, and the stepsisters had torn up the dress that the mice and birds had made for her and the necklace, so she could not go. Then a fairy godmother appeared and made a carriage out of a pumpkin and four white horses out of four mice and a carriage driver out of a pony. And she made Cinderella into a princess in a white dress and glass slippers. Cinderella said she felt like dreaming. The fairy godmother told her, like other dreams, this won't last. When the bell tolls at midnight, the magic will be undone, and everything will return to the way it was. Among those at the ball, there were princesses, daughters of generals, and noblemen. Of course, Anastasia and Drusilla were there, but the prince was not interested in women and kept yawning. But the minute he saw Cinderella, he went to her as if he was under a spell. They danced and walked together. But Cinderella did not know that he was the prince. Time flew and the bells began to ring, announcing that it was midnight. Cinderella hurriedly left without saying goodbye. As she came down the stairs, one of her glass slippers came off, but she didn't have time to put it back on. When the magic was undone, everything returned to the way it was. The only thing that did not change was the glass slipper. The count, under a royal order, went around the entire country to look for the owner of the glass slippers, and finally they came to Cinderella's house. The two sisters tried on the glass slippers, but not even half of their feet would go in. When Cinderella tried to put on the shoes, the stepmother put out her feet to make the soldier fall and break the shoes. When the count was in a total panic, Cinderella took out the other shoe. the prince and Cinderella at last got married and left on a honeymoon on a carriage. The story of Cinderella ends with the following words, and they lived happily ever after. Many fairy tales start with falling in love and ends with marriage. Not only that, most of dramas also have similar structure. For example, it goes like this. A man and a woman are in love, but these two cannot come together because of a difference in their status, social status, or because their parents are enemies, and so they have to part, although they love each other. And thereafter, they each try to meet and fall in love with another woman or a man, but they're not satisfied. So they try to meet the person they had really loved, but somehow they can't meet. When they call, the phone is busy, or they only get a voicemail asking them to leave a message. Or sometimes they're crossing the same crosswalk, but each look the other way and pass by. And when the man runs to get into an elevator as his door is closing, the woman comes out from the elevator right next to it. The people who are watching the drama think, oh, no, why didn't he get there a bit later? And one of them may get in a same bus or a subway, but one gets in front of the car and the other person gets off in the back of the car. Then one day, they meet again by pure chance. They confirm that they love each other still and get married, and the drama ends. But in real life, marriage is not an ending, but a beginning. If the story of the prince and Cinderella is true in real life, how would their story of marriage have unfolded? The sequel to Cinderella's story would have probably gone like this. Cinderella came back to the royal palace after a gorgeous wedding and a dreamlike honeymoon. But the life in the palace was so different from what she had thought. There were so many rules and ways of doing things that she had not thought about even once. And every day there were so many people she had to meet formally, and she had to oversee the servants, but they were far better educated than she was. And from time to time, people would ask questions about the affairs of the country, but she couldn't answer them because she didn't know a whole lot. So she felt that she was being excluded more and more. Now, generally, when a queen is put in a corner or she wants to expand her influence, she counts on the influence power of her family, but Cinderella didn't have any family or relative who could help her. Far from being a help, the stepmother and her stepsisters only schemed about how to bring her down from her position. Cinderella really wanted to do well and made a lot of efforts, but more she did so, she ended up making more mistakes. And the prince, who used to take good care of her, became busy with his own work, and they hardly talked anymore. He was always tired from his duties that overwhelmed him and became irritated often. And so Cinderella also started becoming angry a bit. In the beginning, she held it down, but she began to complain a bit and also started to nag. She also entreated him, "Please love me the way you used to love me when you look for me all over the country with the glass slipper in your hands." In the beginning, the prince answered, during the honeymoon, the prince answered, "You know I love you." But after a couple times, he became indifferent. Now the time that the prince came home became later and later. Now the prince actually wanted to retire to his chamber early and talk with Cinderella, but he came to dread her frequent suspicions and irritations, and sometimes he purposely went home late. Cinderella came to think that the prince no longer loved her, and the prince came to think that she became distant from him, and they lived without feelings for a long time. This is the sequel to Cinderella. All couples want happy marriage, but there are so many cases where the couples are not happy in a family. The reason is that the happiness of a man does not depend on the person's will or emotion. It's not something that comes because one has more possession, status, higher status, or more fame than other people. Bible explains the family that a couple is to make through the relationship between Christ and the church. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 27 testify as follows. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. And Ephesians chapter 5, verses 31 to 33 testify as follows. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. In the same way that Christ called us, who are mired in sin, washed us cleanly with his blood, and straightened our lives, which were filled with blemish, without wrinkle, with the iron of eternal life, in order for the couple to become without a fault, it is saying that it is necessary to be obedient, loving, and respectful of one another. The book written by Gary Smalley, who lectures on family relationship titled If Only He Knew, mentions two reasons why families fail. The first is that unless the couple is trained otherwise, each thinks he or she is the main character of a fairy tale. During the 100 Together event, which was held on May 5th, there was a football game among the pastoral staff and the representative members of the church. The pastoral staff won the game. The many members remarked to the pastors that they were really good at sports. But if the pastors heard these remarks and mistakenly thought that they were really, truly good at sports and said that, and thought that they will put together a professional soccer team to go on a professional soccer matches and later compete with Spain's Barcelona team or the Manchester United of United Kingdom, what would you say? Wouldn't you say, you have to be kidding? It is possible for the pastor to play a game of soccer, but if you want to become a professional player, you have to go through intense training. Further, to become a member of the world's top team, it's not enough that you receive intense training because only a few of the best professional players become members.
Mm-hmm.
To make a happy family also requires intense training. You can think that it will sort of happen as the time goes by, but it does not happen that way. In a family, the husband must be faithful to his role, and the wife must be truthful to her role. A family life is not a happy ending, which comes out in fairy tales, but a road that must be taken while on training until we arrive at the kingdom of God, a never-ending story. It is said that the second reason for marriage to fail is that the couples don't realize that man is different from a woman. It is said that there are two factors that lead to feelings of personal closeness. The first is the sense of security and the sense of worthiness. A security is a feeling that tells you that even if you may be full of faults and shortcomings, the other person accepts you. That I'm accepted by my spouse and loved by my spouse is more important than expensive clothes, good food, or a big house. Persons who live without the feeling that they are being accepted by others cannot help but live in emotional insecurity. The sense of worthiness is a feeling that tells you, I'm a really precious person to the other. I am really needed by the other. The sense of worthiness, or a sense of importance, imbues meaning to a person's existence. When one is loved, one feels secure, and when one loves, one feels more important or worthy. Generally, it is said that women feels a sense of security more, and the men feels a sense of worthiness more. People frequently describe marriage like this. One loves for 3 days, explores the other for 3 months, fights for 3 years to death, and live 30 years in patience. But this is not true for Christians. Maybe the first parts of this saying may be true, but it is not true that 30 years are spent in just holding it down in patience. 30 years is a process in which the dirtied and polluted parts of the self are washed clean by the blood of Christ. And it is a process by which the wrinkled character and a personality are ironed out and are made whole. So in order to become sanctified during that 30 years, it is necessary to spend the 3 years allotted for fighting, or more accurately, the 3 years allotted for coming to know each other well. The reason that the husband and the wife need time to get to know each other is because a man and a woman is not the same but different. A man and a woman each thinks that the other is wrong, but in reality, they're not wrong, but different. So, to the husband, there are parts about the wife, and to the wife, there are parts about the husband that they cannot understand well. It is best to just memorize them without trying to understand them. There is a joke about the commonalities between stock investments and marriage. Each begins with bright hope. You regret it if you do it, and regret it if you don't do it. No one can tell the outcome. You're always duped by your parents. You want blue chips in investing in stocks, and marriage wants a healthy baby. Once you make your choice, you begin to see shortcomings. You do it, but you tell other people never to do it. Is the marriage and the family really like this? Is it something that you start with bright hope but ends up regretting? Something that you get into by being duped? Something that you tell people never to do? If you really think this way, this is because you do not yet know what God wants from our families, how God is sanctifying me through the family to which I belong. If I had not met our spouse, my spouse, and my children, my parents, would I become sanctified as much as I have become now? Isn't it true that because of my spouse or my children who sometimes perturb me, that I have come to know myself better, to fix my bad habits and bow down before God? If children or other people ask you, what kind of place is heaven? How would you answer? Could you answer, it's a place like our home? Of course, I'm not yet confident about that either. We're all not confident. But don't you want to give that answer? Don't your fathers want to tell your daughter, who has come of age, when she asks, Dad, what kind of man should I marry? Don't you want to answer, you marry someone like your dad? And don't you want your son, as he's growing up, to say that, Mom, I want to marry someone like you? This is not because a father or a mother is perfect. When two imperfect people meet and become a helper to each other and do their best to arrive at sanctification to resemble God more, it is only natural that children who witness that will want to come to resemble their parents. The first thing that a man or a woman must do in order to come together in God is to leave their parents. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31 testifies as follows. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. The daughter who is getting married must leave her parents, and the son who is getting married must leave his parents. And they must become independent in their thinking, in terms of faith, financially, and socially. And the parents must first send their children away. As you learned in the New Believers class, what the parents must prepare for first is not the dowry items, but the decision to send away the child. If the parents acted as a pathway for God in their child's life before marriage, then after marriage, the parents must intercede to make sure that the child can stand before God alone. A married woman lived with her parents-in-law. One day, the daughter-in-law and the son exchanged the following conversation. Daughter-in-law, sweetie, who do you love the most in the world? Son, of course it's you, cutie. Daughter-in-law, and who do you love the most next? Son, oh, it would be our adorable kids. Daughter-in-law, and the third? Son, of course it would be my mother-in-law who gave birth to my pretty wife. Daughter-in-law, and the fourth? Son, it would be our three dogs, Chobugi, Chumbugi, and Malbugi. Daughter-in-law, and the fifth? Son, my mother. Now, the mother-in-law, who was passing by the room, heard the conversation by chance, and the next day, as the mother-in-law left early in the morning, she stuck the following note on the refrigerator. Note to number one. Number five is going out to see friends. The word to become one is proskolamai in Greek, and it means to attach together with a glue. It means that once you marry, the relationship between the husband and wife will form a stronger bond than the relationship between parents and children. The parents who acknowledge that once their child marries, it is the number one priority for her or him to become the wife or the husband of the other, rather than being my son or a daughter, are being obedient to the words of God. The people of Philippi who received Roman citizenship due to their participation or accomplishment in war thought that living like Roman citizens was living most earnestly, living with the greatest value, and believed that such lives were most becoming of them. When a foreigner enlists in the U.S. Army, the person will become entitled to apply for U.S. citizenship. So a lot of illegal immigrants in the United States join the Army and were dispatched to Afghanistan, to Iraq, in order to obtain U.S. citizenship. But at the time, the Roman citizenship were held in far greater value than the U.S. citizenship of the current times. But Apostle Paul, in writing to the Church of Philippi, made the following recommendation, saying that there is a life as Christians which is more worthy than life as a Roman citizen. Verse 27 testifies as follows: whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. If the life of a Roman is based on the values of Rome, the value of Christians is the gospel of Christ. It further says that the life that carries out such value is striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. As I've said before, striving together is the same as soldiers going forward, shoulder to shoulder, for battle. Our fight is not with things that are not seen, and not with those that are seen. Apostle Paul, after having spoken about the role of the wife and the husband in the family, the role of parents and children, and the role of a servant who worked in the house and the master in the household, immediately recommends that we put on the full armor of God in order to win the spiritual battle. In other words, our spiritual battle begins at home. And if we are not victorious in our family life, what this passage is emphasizing is that the spiritual victory is far from being assured. So in order to win the spiritual battle, it is necessary for the couple to put shoulder to shoulder together and move forward, encouraging one another. When I'm asked to preside at a wedding, we do a rehearsal for the wedding service about a week before. We rehearse the service and I give words of recommendation at the end about how different a man is from a woman. At the end, I always say this: I wish that you too could say the following about me with pride. You know that Pastor Jung Han-jo, he presided at our wedding service. If you could say this, it would probably mean that I'm doing my job well. And I wish to be able to say the following about you, too, with pride. You know so-and-so couple, I presided at their wedding, you know. This would surely mean that you have made a good home. Later, when we stand before the Lord, if we could say with pride before the angels, the Lord brought us together. And if we could hear the Lord say before the angels, I brought you two together. Then our life would truly be blessed, and we would have lived a life worthy of the gospel of Christ. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for allowing us to reflect on the topic of family for the past 5 weeks. All couples wish to live with a sense of security and sense of worth in their families, but we confess that there are more families which live with the feeling of insecurity and unworthiness. Please help us to understand that even if we receive respect and admiration from others, if we do not receive the respect and love from our wife, we are just merely a resounding gong and clanging cymbal. And even if I have much knowledge and acknowledged as being a superior person and have outstanding capability to rule over others, if I cannot handle my family properly, I am nothing. And even if I give my wife the best clothes, the best cosmetics, a beautiful house, expensive jewelry, even get her a domestic helper and buy her a car, if I do not have the love to read the heart of my wife, then there is no benefit for me. Although we couples know each other faintly, like looking into a copper mirror, and know only in part, as the Lord knows us in our entirety, as the time passes, allow us, the couples, to know each other wholly, and allow us to be young people who desire to do so. And so may the members of our families fear the Lord, and thereby enjoy the grace that makes all things well, being strengthened in body and in spirit. I pray that the words of Psalm 128 shall come true for each of the families of our 100th anniversary memorial church. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.